live on the Bobcast, Nashville, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, with us today, as always, Candace the Wolf Slayer.
Thank you.
And it's Lance Whalen.
Yeah.
Lance Whalen.
Hell Welcome. Yeah. I like the two first names. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have that too with Bob Wayne. It's like the two first names are cool, man. Yes. You know,
those two first namers have to stick together.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. There is something with the two first namers.
Yeah.
What's another one that's
Rachel Brooke.
Johnny is Cash. Cash is a first name,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good enough for me.
I think a lot of people name their kids Cash now after Johnny Cash. I think that's a thing.
No, they're naming it after that money.
<They're> that money.
Maybe. Both.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, you guys.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
make sure that you're... Can you talk again?
Good?
Yep. We forgot to check that one. Okay. Cool.
Chickity check.
Actually, I'm going to turn yours up a little bit. Sorry, Lance. Give me one second here just because I forgot that we didn't check that one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're number three.
Yep, that's me. That's number good. Three. Good old that's number better. Three.
Heck yeah.
So I had seen you at D's back in April.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of you. And I had some friends in town, so I took them to D's because it's a cool place. It's one of my favorite bars. But
mine too. Great place.
Yeah, it's awesome. But you went on stage, played, and blew me away. And I've been a fan since.
Well, thank you.
I've been wanting to have you on the podcast. I know I talked to you that night about being on, so I'm glad we could get you on.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I've checked out your podcast and I've enjoyed watching it. I'm gonna end up watching all of them.
I think it's cool, man. It's cool we live here in Nashville and everybody comes through this town. We got all this stuff, so that's cool though. How she went to a show. We've done that a couple times where we went to the show. You see how I did that, and then I moved my.
You can tell.
Talk down here. It's like, oh yeah, you have to talk like this. I have to really remember. Sorry about that. What was I saying?
Yeah, it's cool.
We can just go to a show here, and if someone's good, it's like, yo, you want to come on the podcast?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what's great about Nashville, too, is you just, you go to a bar, and then, like, someone gets on stage, it's just fucking amazing that you've never heard of, and you just happen to be there. Yeah, so.
Well, it's very intimidating when you when you move here, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's always been like that. I've been here for a really long time, but.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel like that. No matter who you are, when you go out and you see music, we're spoiled in this town. You're like, God, I suck.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like everybody's
great
just
musicians.
Everybody
everywhere.
Is just so good. But that's kind of one of the things. That's one of the things that I still like about this town, even though it's changed a whole lot, is that you're with all these people doing the same thing and you're having all the same kind of struggles or the same kind of approach to life, which is kind of hard to find in whatever town that you just left. So it's like a big summer camp for...
Yeah. I've heard that from someone else
said that.
Really?
Willie T. Taylor said that. He felt that too.
Yeah. I think you feel that way, especially if, you know, back home you're kind of a... weirdo or people, you know, here it's almost just like, oh yeah, well of course you do that, but everywhere else it's people are just like, what's wrong
with you?
Yeah,
here it's it's more odd if you don't like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean it's a little bit it just makes it a little bit more comfortable to be yourself and meet people that are doing the same crazy stupid thing that you're doing, because you have to be insane.
Yeah, I've never been on like the trying to like play Nashville. I don't really play here. I stay here a lot. I record all my albums here, but I don't like do very many shows here because it's like it's a tough town to play music in. I go, I actually play elsewhere, mm-hmm. and then I just live here.
Playing elsewhere is the best.
Yeah. I don't play. I don't try to do it. She's like, why don't you play in town more? I was like, no. I was like,
shows.
No. I've tried. You know, it's weird. I'll get like 20 people in a bar. Sometimes we get lucky with a big crowd if we haven't played for a while. But a lot of times it's just like it's hard. You know, we just don't really pull a big crowd in this town. You know, so it's like there's no money for me here. So,
there's almost everybody, unless you're huge. People don't play here for money. They play here kind of to hang out with their friends, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
In a weird kind of way. Yeah. It's more of like it's just something that you do as part of the culture.
But
it's
reminded me of this frog song. Do you know the frogs?
Well,
he just said, there's that one song, I only play for money.
No, but I love frogs. I have a lot of pet frogs.
Oh, do you?
You do? That's weird. Because you just said something that reminded me of the frogs. And then you really love frogs.
Yeah.
How many frogs do you have?
I'm telepathetic, by the way.
Yeah. I just have a few now. I've had up to 15 before, but I've been keeping frogs and toads all of my life.
Yeah.
And right now I actually have one frog named Cinderella Pickle Juice, and she's turned 20 this year.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you feed they grow old?
What that kind 20 of frog is old. That?
I mean,
for a frog, that's pretty old.
Yeah. What kind of frog is?
She's an African bullfrog, also known as a pixie frog.
Okay.
She's 20. How old do they get, do you know?
It depends on the species. So like tree frogs don't live very long, 3 to 5 years, maybe 7. Okay. Bigger toads and bigger frogs, they can live to be 30 if they're really careful.
Wow. That's interesting, man.
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about how long.
Yeah, I didn't know any
Did you,
live that long.
I know that possums only live 3 years.
Really?
I would have figured they lived longer, but
I would have too. See, I know very little about possums. But I've actually had a couple of people bring me frogs. I had a friend of mine moved to China, and then one of his family members in Illinois, their kids went to college and left the frog behind that had been there for like 10 years, and they didn't want to flush the frog down the toilet. So they brought him to me from Indiana, drove down here to
and
get
save the frog.
You got a rescue frog.
I've had several rescue frogs. Yeah. I got a bullfrog one time from the aquatic critter on Nolansville Pike, because they called me and they said, hey, we've got these people here from Sweden that are doing a mattress commercial and they need to rent a big frog. We wanted to know, they'll give you $100 if they can rent one of your big frogs for a day. And I said, no, thanks. I don't want to stress.
Wow.
Well, see, frogs are very prone to stress. Like
really?
Stress, and it, you know, people too, like stress will kill you eventually, but it kills frogs a lot faster than it kills us. So, and plus, you know, there's all these, I mean, can you imagine as a frog, you couldn't understand what's going on with the lights and all these giant creatures throw it, you know, passing you back and forth.
Oh, because they're so used to being in the swamp and just in these dark kind of, in the forest, you're saying if they get caught in a city.
Well, if they're just, they
get caught by a human.
Or they're taken out of like,
yeah, if a human grabs them.
They have to feel safe. There's not like a frog's a terrible pet for a child because you really shouldn't touch them. You know, you got to make sure they have the right temperature and humidity. Yeah. You got to handle bugs. And
I feel like your frogs are probably really happy and lucky to have you.
I'll hope so. I hope so.
Do they seem stress free? Pretty stress.
Yeah, relatively.
That's cool.
Well, I got this one. You know, when I would sometimes rescue frogs, so these people bought these Swedish people. They ordered a big bullfrog from a frog legs farm. After the commercial, they didn't want the frog anymore, so they gave them to the store, and the store called me and was like,
they knew you were the frog guy.
Like, you're the frog rescue guy, man.
Our alligators are not, well, they're, it's too late in the season for them to eat. They're starting to hibernate. They won't eat this frog. Will you come and get this frog? So I went and I got the frog, and he lived in my house for a while, because you have to quarantine an animal that's been around other animals for 90 days before you can release them, because there's a
They could have some sickness.
They could, and especially chytrid fungus, which has been this fungus going around the world that's made a lot of frog species go extinct. So, anyway, you have to be real careful with all that kind of stuff. So I quarantined this guy for a while, and he lived in my house, and that, you know, it's always awkward when you have girls over for the first time. But so
wait a minute, you're like, sorry, I gotta lick this frog. Yeah. Trust me.
Hold on a second.
Dude, hold on a second.
I gotta get
squeezing the frog venom out. He's like, I'm ready.
I gotta get in the mood.
This is a Japanese horny toad. Yeah, you're about to get
it's about to be a good time.
I ended up finding a nice pond to release this guy in, and he started a whole frog colony. Frog colony there. So he
isn't okay.
He went from being on death row to being
the king.
The king.
Oh, wow. What about the psychedelic frog stuff? Do you know anything about that? Like the venom toads, and do you have those? Would you be interested in because there's probably a demand for that.
There is a demand for it. Herein lies the problem if you're a frog lover. So that poison, which causes the psychedelic effects, which has the DMT-5, I forget, some strain of DMT that's supposed to make you
experience. I've seen people smoke it.
Yeah,
I didn't do it, but.
Well, the problem with that kind, not only is, you know, that frowned upon, but you actually have to hurt them to get the poison out, because that's their natural defense, right? If an animal starts to eat them and they poison that animal, then that animal will leave that species alone. So it's their natural defenses. So they have these poison glands behind their eyes that look kind of like
extract it is through fear.
You don't necessarily have to kill them, but you have to squeeze the poison gland until it bursts. So you actually have to hurt them. It would be sort of like
blowing your eardrum or something.
Yeah, because it's not comfortable for the frog. It's kind of like you really have to, you know, they don't just walk around excreting poison as they walk. Right. It's just to, like, if you screw with me, you'll die.
That's so their harvesting last defense kind
harvesting of thing. Toad venom is not cool.
No, it's not cool.
Okay,
it's not cool. But I know how it's done, and you know, and it's got to be dried and smoked,
and you do it.
And you've never done it?
I'm not going to comment on that.
He's like, actually, I have a little bit right here. I was hoping we could try it on the podcast. Just kidding. I bet that shit's expensive because it's rare.
It can be. And, you know, some people get a shaman to take them through the experience.
Wow.
You know, because it.
My buddy Dan was just like, he's just like. And everyone was watching him like, what's going to happen? And he was like, I could use a little bit more. Just like a little bit. But I feel, yeah, a little bit more. That's all he said. Oh. This dude's crazy. Like this.
Yeah, he must be crazy.
This one of our merch girls like, some guy gave me a DMT pen, but I'm afraid. And Dan's like, give it to me. And he goes, yep. That's DMT. Yeah. And he gave it back to her, and that like nothing, and then went around the conversation. I was like, are you okay? He's like, no, that's DMT. He's like, one hit's okay, two hits, you know, it's decent. Three gets me going. Four, I don't even know where
that's
my hand
when you,
is.
That's when then you meet the like, alien.
Well, then he's like, I can't see my hand anymore, so it's gone. You can't even take four hits of this shit, I guess, because by the time you're on your fourth one, everything's melting around you.
Yeah. That guy is a very experienced customer right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I got into psychedelics real big back in the 1900s.
Yeah.
LSD, mushrooms, all that. But I know.
Yeah.
Well, I stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I actually didn't like, I didn't like those things very much. Well, especially like the synthetic stuff. You know what I mean? The laboratory produced
the LSD.
So that's no.
See, I was an LSD.
It didn't work well
fanatic.
For me.
Fanatic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was opposite. I was eating that shit like crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. But that was a long time ago. Like I said, the 1900s. It was a long time ago. I would not condone that now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't. I'm not really. I'm. I live at such a natural high state of paranoia that I can't really enjoy drugs for the most part. Just because I'm already there. Somebody's already behind me. You know, I think
that's what I like about your music, dude. It's like you can feel that. I can feel that in your music, dude. This like this tension within it. That I think that's what's so why I like it. We were listening to it today while we were getting ready, and I was like, damn, this is like, it's, you can feel that.
Well.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Good, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It's good.
Yes. Should we show to people a song and let's see what that looks like?
Yeah, let's do one.
Hell yeah.
Well, they don't understand you, baby, that's for sure. Try to run you out of town with fire and sword. Need a place to rest? Well, take my hand. I hide you inside my baby grand. And after midnight, we'll sneak to the shore. Yeah, nobody goes there anymore. Wait on in and find an undertow. We'll take a trip down to the old freak show. You know I like to sing it, howdy high, hoody ho. Take me down to the old freak show, where we get money high for folks so low. I feel right at home at the old freak show. We'll forget everyone that we ever knew and stick to the shadows like horse hoof glue. Inside my ribs there's a feeling that grows, something about that old freak show. I like to sing it, howdy high, hooty ho. Take me down to the old freak show, where we get mighty high for folks so low. I feel right at home, the old freak show. Well, I never want to fall in love again, but here you come with a mile-long grin. Make a cozy home from a cottonmouth den. You're my partner and my best friend. If you and Aphrodite go toe-to-toe, well, my money's on you, my little freak. I like to sing it, howdy high and holdy ho. Yeah, take me down to the old freak show, where we get mighty high for folks this low. I feel right at home at the old freak show.
I try to sit down every day. I don't like woodshed or practice forever or say I'm gonna write a song today. Sometimes if you got to write a song today, sometimes you have to, you know, in the business or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just try to sit there for 15. I think, all right, I'm gonna pick this thing up. I'm just gonna dick around for 15 minutes. And that's my only plan. And sometimes you're just disgusted. But a lot of times 2 hours goes by and you're still, you know, you found something thread and you're pulling on it, right, you're pulling on it, but you kind of got to like have everything set up and you got to show up. And for me, I used to be like a nighttime person. Like I used to be like I'd get creative at night.
Yeah,
and I'd be like, yeah,
I am too.
Well, I used to be, I'm not anymore.
Now you're a daytime creative.
I am like morning.
Just switched over?
Or just see, for me,
flopped. Yeah.
For me, it's, it goes back and forth.
Mm.
You know, it depends on if I'm on a run. Like when I wrote that script for Queen of the Minds, I wrote a script in like 2 weeks, but I was like waking up fresh, caught, but it was in my head. I was on a mission. Yeah. So I would like wake up every day and just start writing until I couldn't anymore. Then I would go through that. Then I would wake up early in the morning, drink coffee. I remember being like, wow, it's like going up and going to work or something. But I got it done in like a week.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
Script writing.
A whole script.
And dialogue.
Yeah, all of it. And it's good. It's pretty good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
There's like hooks and twists and turns, and it's pretty good.
I'm excited. I hope you'll have to let me know.
The Queens of the Mines. It was inspired by my my friend Annie's has a podcast about all these women from the Wild West.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I took all the characters of the Wild West women, and I made a script about their story. Like one, like Madame Moustache. Have you ever heard of Madame Moustache?
No.
She's was the very first French, or very first gambler, blackjack dealer in America, female. Female, I said that wrong. Let me say that. Madame Moustache was the first female blackjack dealer in the Wild West. And she was known, she was beautiful, but she had a thick upper mustache on her upper lip. So she was known as Madame Moustache. She's a real person. She ended up, killing herself by poison out in the woods. She has a crazy story. One-Eyed Charlie was the fastest stagecoach driver in the Wild West. She would go, and she lived as a he. So he would go. She was born female, and then she hid and disguised and lived her life as a male, and no one knew. And she became the fastest state. She was like, no one would let a woman drive coal back then. And she actually killed a bandit and got the reward. And she was known for that. So she was not only known for being like the most badass stagecoach driver. She was known because bandits wouldn't. But it wasn't even a she. It was he, One-Eyed Charlie. And then, you know what I mean? Yeah, so it was like this fucked up thing. And then when he died, they were like, holy shit, One-Eyed Charlie is a female, and she's had a baby. So there's like a baby One-Eyed Charlie. And so there's her whole crazy story. There's Ah Toy, the first Chinese immigrant that came into California, started the first sex working brothels and stuff like that with the Chinese. She was a badass. She ended up running San Francisco, like her brothels and stuff. So there's all these girls. Anyways, we take you through their story, you know, and you're like, wow, you want these girls to succeed, you know, but they're in the Wild West and we're going to watch Madame Mustache and One-Eyed Charlie. But in order for all these, you know, strong women to like get their end goal, that the real thing that has to happen, the struggle is kind of, we got to kill all the Indians. So the Native Americans have to be extinguished in order for those people to thrive. So as this is happening, we're watching another story of a Native American woman and her daughter as they go through this, navigate this, trying to hide and trying to get sold and bought and everything. We follow their story while it's just a crazy, I wrote it in like 10 days, but it really ended up good.
That's fascinating, man. I love, I'm a history nerd. So I love all that.
Okay.
I'll send you the script if you like to read.
I love to read. Okay. I'm a slow reader. So.
Okay. Well, I'll send it to you. You can check it out if you want.
Yeah. If you don't hear back from me in a week, it's not because I didn't read it.
Now I just feel like I overshared.
I have Annie's Queens of the Mines book.
We need Annie on here.
Yeah, I know.
We need to get Annie on here.
Maybe borrow that, or I can give that to you. I can buy another one.
Yeah, give it to
Annie.
So cool. Annie will give us that. We'll hook you up.
Yeah. Nice. I'll give you that too. Yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
Well, are you feeling another one? You want to play another song?
I can. Yes.
Let's do it. Let's do
it.
Cool.
There's a garden in the vale. There's a garden in the sea. Honey, who's been loving you? Honey, who's been loving me? What a way to spend your time. I got some evil on my mind. Sometimes I'm thinking death. Sometimes I'm thinking birth. Honey, I could make it sweet. Or I could make it hurt. But more often than not, I fight. Some evil on my mind. sing a song about all the folks who done me wrong. Starts with the story of a kiss, the kiss that put you on my list. Past the salt and cut a line, I got some evil on my mind.
Hey!